This episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.
Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark.
And I'm Dave.
And we're here to talk about the Oklahoma City Thunder. We made a blockbuster trade yesterday, and we've been talking about it quite a bit. This Kemba Walker to the Oklahoma City Thunder for Al Horford, Moses Brown, and the Oklahoma City additionally get the Boston Celtics first round pick this coming draft, which is the number 16 pick. We have a lot to look forward to in the next couple days with the draft lottery. The ping pong balls are going to be exciting, and we're going to be on edge all the way down to the very end. So we're pumped up about that. Last episode, we talked quite a bit about potential suitors for Kemba Walker, and we really came away with the conclusion that it's unlikely that anybody would be willing to give up what it takes to acquire Kemba Walker at this stage of his career with this many years left on his contract. I think that he'll get an opportunity to play for a good team, but it's going to take probably a year, maybe 2 years of him playing through his contract before a team will look at him for long term. So we're going to talk a little bit about what it would look like to have Kemba Walker play for the Thunder if he does in fact stay.
Yeah, man, it's just taken a lot of time for us to start processing what this team is going to look like. You know, when Mark and I sat down in the beginning of the off year and talked about the trades that he was going to possibly go, obviously we always circled back to the Celtics because we felt like there was going to be a fit here. I don't think it's a coincidence that we probably talked about the Celtics and Al Horford probably 20 times on these episodes. It's the reason is the fit works. Also, Kemba Walker is, in my opinion, a great point guard. A point guard that is very underrated in the NBA. A lot of people don't like the way that he plays basketball. A lot of people don't like the way that he leads. But this is where I feel like the Oklahoma City Thunder could really have a lot of fun with Kemba. He would fit in with this organization incredibly well. They are very much of a team-oriented organization, and I feel like Kemba would embrace that. He did really well with that old-style team atmosphere, playing for UConn and Calhoun. He's one of those guys that I look at as being one of those leaders for a team that needs a leader. And this is the perfect opportunity for him to come in here, prove what he can do, and prove that he deserves to have a championship ring. This is where I feel like would be crucial for us to look at as a legitimate here. As we get going, his contract lines up with a lot of our contracts that we're going to be looking at extending. Dort, we're going to have Dort, Roby, some of these other guys are going to be extended around the time that Kemba's going to be leaving, the contract's going to be over. Now, why do I bring this up? It's because there is always a chance that we decide to hold on to him because we want to give our other point guards more time to develop. I don't think this is going to be something that happens, but to me, Kemba is one of those guys that the guys will get along really well with. We have so many point guards and young combo guards on this team. It is going to be fun to watch. Also, I feel like the relationship between Deck and him is going to be very important. I'm really excited to see how he's going to mesh with this team. And of course, Mark and I have made this very clear. There could be a team willing to pay a king's ransom for Kemba right away, and that's why this trade happened before the draft. But the reality is that it would have to be a shocker to us. Most people will be a shocker if Kemba ends up leaving just because his salary. It's not an easy pill to swallow. And the reality is that there's not many teams that have a player that they're trying to get rid of and that will want a point guard to be taking up that much room. Obviously, people will talk about the Golden State Warriors, especially with the fact that they have a $31 million contract that they don't like. But the reality is that why would they want Golden State want another point guard like this? It doesn't make sense. Yes, it could make sense to the Golden State Warriors, so thus we had to bring it up. But the reality is there's not a damn thing that makes sense right now as far as him going there. But next year's a whole new year. And other teams will have more salary cap room. And there might be another team that is like the New York Knicks that missed out on another point guard that says, hey, listen, we're willing to give you two young assets and a draft pick for Kemba. That would be a hell of a combo to get in return for Kemba. But the reality is I don't even think that there's going to be a team that's going to want to commit to a $72 million contract like that.
Right, and that's what brings us to the possibility of him staying on our team for at least a year, maybe two. And if he does, it will be with the intention of rehabbing his image and eventually trading him away. This is our assumption. We don't know for sure, but we've done the same thing with a number of players, and this is a pattern that we've seen Sam Presti execute over and over again. So we assume that Kemba Walker will be just an extension of that. And with that said, we're going to assume that he's going to start. Sure, there is a chance he could come off the bench. He could be a spark plug. He could become a sixth man of the year candidate every year. But I think that that wouldn't help his value to start for a team like the Thunder. I mean, to come off the bench for a team like the Thunder. If he did that for a team like the Lakers, yeah, I mean, that could help his value. But for the Thunder, it might make him, you know, it might kind of lose him in the rotation. It might make him seem like invisible. So the idea would be that he would start and that we would probably move Théo Maledon to the bench for the duration of Kemba Walker being there. I think that that would be actually beneficial for Théo. At first, I thought, you know, I was hesitant of that. I felt like that it would be to Teo's advantage to keep starting. But, you know, playing against the second unit has advantages for young players. So I think that that could be a good thing for him as he builds camaraderie with that second unit. That's something we saw at the start of last year at the very beginning, but that kind of fell away. So I'm going to assume that Kemba is going to start next to SGA. Kemba is a true point guard who is a score-first point guard in a lot of ways, but he's an excellent passer, and that's an underrated part of his game. I really think that he will find a way to defer to SGA. And the thing about SGA is he constantly makes the right play, so it's not hard to defer to him. But this is SGA's team, and Kemba would really come in and recognize that, I assume, and look to play off of SGA. And I think it would give us a really potent 1-2 punch in that backcourt. You can look across the West Coast, the Western Conference teams, and there are some good 1-2 punches in the backcourt. But I think that you'd have to really consider us up there with the Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum level, which is, you know, the elite level backcourt. So that would be very exciting. It would increase the tempo. We would look to get shots early in the shot clock, I assume, and we would try to create a lot of turnovers on defense without getting out of position, because if we can play in transition a lot, that would be to our advantage.
Yeah, man. And speaking of that, let's just talk about a couple of the other starters that I feel like would fit this team perfectly with Kemba and SGA next to them. Obviously, we have Dort, Mark. Dort is always going to be put up there, whether he's playing small forward, shooting guard, or whatever. It doesn't matter. He's going to always be added into that. You are going to have Bazley, who's going to be... We're going all in on Bazley right here. Always at the power forward, starting at the power forward. And then this is where I have a big question mark about the center. We have two guys that I would consider center material on the team. That is Isaiah Roby and Poku. Poku, I feel like, is one of those quiet centers that not a lot of people would even consider him as a center. But this year, I think he's going to split with a lot of time at center, helping us decide how we're going to deal with this, because he fits the small ball perfectly. He can sit in that corner and hit threes. Obviously, he struggled at times this year, but I feel like Poku's going to come strong this next year and really circle him to see how he's going to respond to that. But I think Poku's making big strides and will come back next year playing some at center. I think Bazley will play some at center as well. But the reality is it's going to be really interesting to see how this team goes. With that being said, let's talk about the draft picks that we're going to come in. Because right there, we talked about our starting lineup. Those are the six guys right there that I think that are going to split the time of the starting lineups. We have Deck coming off the bench, Ty, Théo, and Kenny. Okay, so that's four guys coming off the bench. That brings us to a total of 10. We got question marks. Mark, we had a question mark about Josh Hall, what's going to happen there, and Charlie Brown Jr., because he had a team option on his contract that he signed at the end of the year for us. So right there, we got 10 guys with two question marks. Let's talk about what we have for draft picks. We got three first rounds. So either A, we're going to cut ties with Charlie Brown. and take these 16 and 18 and move up in the draft so we get two guys from the draft, or we're going to cut Hall and we're going to have all three draft picks come in, and that's what we're going to do there. So there's the question. Now, we also have 3 second round draft picks this year, 34, 36, and 55. This is going to be interesting to see how this goes, because I think this is going to be used to beef up our G League and getting players that are incredibly talented that typically you could get in the late mid-first round on a normal year. So this could be for the structure of the team, for the longevity of it, signing them to team-friendly contracts at that $1.75 million deal. That would be really cool to see if we could pull something off there. Obviously, if we package 36 and 55 together, we could move up in the second round to probably 32, which is two spots behind the first pick in the second round. So again, these are things that we need to look at and circle as time goes on, that I really think that there's going to be stuff that happens here. And listen, Kemba could not be on the team this next year. He could get injured. Something could happen, and our team is going to be looking like we felt like it was going to look like before this trade was done anyways, without Al.
Yeah, man, but hey, I'm pumped up about this idea of Kemba, and I was just thinking about it while you were talking, and I did a quick run, and as far as I'm concerned, it's good enough for me. But Coach Degnaught, when he was a graduate assistant at UConn, Kemba Walker was actually there as a player. So they have a history together, because Kemba was there from 2008 to 2011, and Coach Degnaught was there from 2003 to 2009. So that gives about a year of overlap at the very least. So, you know, he was probably a part of, you know, the whole, you know, him being a recruit and him being there as an athlete and getting to know him. So this would not be his first interaction with him. They both obviously played Coach Degnaught didn't play for Coach Calhoun at UConn, but he was a graduate assistant, and he was able to, you know, really get his coaching career started from the experiences he had from Coach Calhoun. He went from there to coach with Billy Donovan at Florida, and then obviously he took the job as our D-League coach, or G-League, I guess is what it's called now, but I think it was the D-League back then. What we've seen now is that I think that this is an intentional move. I think that this is something that they really feel like is the right fit. And it's something that obviously we say all this with the idea that if somebody came along and made the right offer, we would let that go. But I have to assume that if the right offer was out there, the Celtics would have taken a different offer. If somebody was offering first round picks for Kemba Walker, then we wouldn't have him on our team right now, is my assumption. Now, I could be wrong. We'll see. It's an expensive contract. A lot of teams are looking to change things up. If you want to hear more about the different ideas we have about teams that could make the deal, that was the whole last episode. We focused the whole time on that, and it was a lot of fun to talk about, but it was a lot of dead ends. And we just came away with this conclusion that we think that he's going to be on the team. We think that he's going to be a starter. We think that Coach Degnaught and him have a prior, you know, relationship, and so that will go a long way to making it so Coach Degnaught and Sam Presti are confident of the fit there. So with all that said, you know, we think that this is a good fit, and we're really, really hopeful about the style of basketball that will come out of it. Coach Degnaught has a really fun style of coaching, free-flowing, lots of the ball moving from side to side, which we've heard people talk a lot about before, but we really saw it this year. And we're looking forward to seeing what a player like Kemba Walker can do. If he comes in there and we go on to make the playoffs, he's going to get a lot of credit. He's going to be seen as someone that is a viable person that can help your team make the playoffs, and from there we could be looking at quite a bit of value, plus we get, you know, some good experience for having him out there. So I think this is a great suggestion. Obviously there's going to be issues with the young players and making sure that they get adequate playing time and that their development doesn't, you know, fall on the back burner, and that's something that Coach Degnaught has always been very good at for us. So I have a lot of confidence that he's going to figure that out, and we'll be fine, and we'll be able to compete now and make sure that we're improving for the future at the same time. And that's what, you know, we were talking about with Poku, finding different ways to get him in there, because it's going to be difficult. But Coach Degnaught always made that a priority this year, and I think he'll do it again. So I'm not too worried about that, because let's face it, Kemba Walker is a very good player. He's going to help us out, and he's going to help us. We'll be a better team for having him out there. But he's not like a game changer. He's not going to lead us to a championship. So in the end, he's going to be a player that we believe will be here for a certain amount of time. And then from there, we'll move on and we'll find a way to continue to do what we've done. When KD and Russ and that whole young team was here, we constantly would see players like Kemba who were going for, you know, basically, if you take this player for us, we'll give you a first round pick. It's, you know, it's expensive contract and we want to get off of it. And we couldn't make those deals because we were always in the luxury tax and we're always, you know, trying to win now. And I just had a feeling that Sam Presti, if he had that flexibility, he would be in the middle of every one of these deals. And here we are. You know, one of the ones that you talked about was Kemba Walker, you know, and then on the flip side, you have the deal that everybody's talking about with Kristaps Porzingis. And I don't know what will happen with that, if anything will happen. But we're going to be in the middle of everything. And that's what makes us so exciting. That's why we fucking love talking about the Thunder every day, is because we're not sitting pat. We're always looking to get better. And this is just an extension of it. Obviously, the lottery is going to be a huge part of that. And that's something we're really looking forward to talking about. And so we're just going to keep it going.
Yeah, man. And there's a lot of questions to where exactly we're going to go in the draft, what direction we're going to go in the draft. Mark and I, we've looked at this draft and we've broken down a lot of guards and combo guards. We've left some of the centers out because we didn't really feel like that was a place where Sam was going to go. But the reality is that could be his plan all along, is looking at the centers in this draft as being really big values, huge assets to look at. Obviously, Mobley is somebody we have not brought up, and that is somebody we're going to bring up really quickly here, because I feel like in the direction this team is going, we are set up perfectly to slide in a young center early on, coming off the bench and moving him up into the starting position as time goes on, as he's proving himself. And there's three or four centers that we've really highlighted and really, really like that I could see the Thunder going and trying to get. You know, to me, there's just too many good centers in this league for it to go out without us getting at least one or maybe two to get in there. Obviously, that's a lot of questions of where that's going to be at in the draft. But the reality is that this could be anywhere. I'm really excited to see what Sam Presti and staff are going to do here to make this team better through the draft.
Yeah, man. And especially with this new pick at 16, we had gone on and on and on every single episode over the last few weeks talking about how we really wanted more picks in that range between 10 and 20. That's what we wanted because we feel like that's the best value. You have so many good players that are just starting to figure their game out, but they already have shown like incredible talent. So we're really pumped up about that. I would prefer, honestly, to trade all of our first round picks that are earlier than that backwards, get more picks in that range, because there are so many unique players that can really go on to help teams. And I think the top half of the draft is so overvalued that you could probably get almost 3-1 for your players. Like if you can even imagine that, 3-1 draft picks, because people want that, those top five so bad. And I think that it's a little bit foolish because those other guys aren't that far behind, and really they have a lot more upside. I think like with some of these guys, you, especially in the top five, you come away with the conclusion of, okay, if they can do this, they're going to be great. If they can do this, they can be great. And a lot of times when you say that, like, it's very difficult. And, you know, I've never actually seen a draft where they nailed, like, the experts nailed every one of the top five picks. There's always a couple that don't work out. And this might be the exception. This could be a miracle draft. But, you know, you look at a player like Tyler Hero. You look at players like that end up going, like, Bam Adebayo, that go in that 11 range to 15 range. Those are great values, and this draft is full of guys that would normally go in like that 7-10 range that will now go the, you know, 12-15. So we're happy to have that 16th pick.
I don't think Sam's done either. I don't think he's done moving up in the draft. I don't think he's done trading up in the draft. I feel like there's certain players that he's highlighting to go get, just like he does every draft. But this year, he has the power to move up and down in the draft. I have almost, I would say this, I would bet almost everything I've ever earned in my life to say this, is that I would almost bet, I want to throw that out there, almost bet, all right, is I feel like Sam Presti this year is going to do just that. Is that if he got the number one pick in the draft, I feel like he would trade that back for multiple picks in this draft or better quality of the draft picks that we have. I mean, listen, if we could get three draft picks between the numbers of 14 and 7, I would be more happy than picking up Cade Cunningham. Because, like Mark said, this is the draft to have those type of caliber players in your pocket. That's the type that will take and turn your entire trajectory for your entire organization around. Yes, you've got one of those unbelievable players up there with Cade Cunningham, and I understand what everybody is going crazy about with this young man. But the reality is that there is more value in this draft in that middle early teens, or even before teens, 7 to 12. And I think that's the thing about it, is that if you're an expert in the NBA, obviously most of them will say Cade Cunningham, but there's a lot of them right now that I'm listening to that are saying if you had that opportunity to get three draft picks, and these are the guys that are breaking down the players individually like we are, if you had a chance to get three in this top, you know, in this five pick range, then you're good. You're going to have a team that's going to dominate for many years. And that's what we all believe, is that this draft is so deep and so good that it doesn't really matter how many you get in the first round, but teams with multiple first round picks are going to do very, very well in this draft.
Yeah, I think it comes down to a lot like, are you in need of a franchise player? Because we're not. We have SGA. He's a franchise player. And what we need to do is build up with support. And yeah, I think we could end up with a couple of other really great players that could end up being Hall of Famers too. But we don't need to come in and be like, you know, hand over the keys to Cade. That didn't work for OSU. It's not going to work for us, and it's not going to happen. But you know who needs that? The Houston Rockets. They need a player like Cade. They need to re-energize their fan base and all that stuff. And I get it. Some of the fans in Oklahoma City would be more energetic to get Cade Cunningham, but that's fine. It's just because they're lazy fans and they didn't really pay attention to how hard this team was working this year. And this team played their butts off. We're really proud of them, and we want to see them continue to improve. And we think that Kemba Walker is going to be a big part of that. He's had plenty of playoff experience. He's shown that he's, you know, he can hit big time shots, and I'm ready for us to really get out there and play with this team and show everybody that, you know, we're ready to compete. You take all the experience that those young guys got this year and you add SGA back to the team, you add Kemba Walker to this team, and like you said, Sam Presti is not done, but you know, give Bazley another year and Dort another year of improvement. You know, we saw what they did with the extra year, so we're really pumped up, and we think that this is going to be one of the best years of Thunder basketball, and we're pumped up to see how it goes. So we appreciate you, everybody, taking the time to join us as we go through this journey and we talk about this team as they improve. We're going to come back tomorrow, and we're going to talk more about the players in the upcoming draft. We're going to talk about one of the top two players, and then the next day we're going to cover the final of the top end of the draft. We've taken our time getting there, and after that lottery, we're going to continue talking about players. We're going to work our way through the rest of the first round and into a good portion of the second round. Obviously, we're not going to be able to cover everything, but who knows? We might even go to two players a day to just make sure we do, because we're having so much fun and really getting to know this draft, and it's been a blast. Well, we appreciate you taking the time to join us for this episode of The Last Storm. Like I said, we'll be back tomorrow, and we really appreciate you taking the time. So, once again, this episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.